This is an iHeart podcast.
Fun on what is going to be a great Tuesday. And let me tell you why it's going to be a great Tuesday. We're going to talk about the cities, why you should get out. I have a brand new headline right now. You're just going to have to hear me on this, why you should get out. We're going to talk about an impeachable offense the Biden administration is attempting. We have history, you lovers of history, you missers of history. An hour from now, I'm telling a history story. You know why? Because it's my show and I can do whatever I want. We have that. Look, we don't know. Me and the Latinx staff here, who knows which direction we're going to go?
Latinx?
That interview I played yesterday of Dr. Naomi Wolf talking about the Pfizer documents. I played yesterday the interview in its entirety, right? I was a little overwhelmed by the email response. Apparently, you were shocked, horrified, so on and so forth. Wanted me to play it again. Wanted to know where you can find it. If you want to hear the interview in its entirety, you can go download yesterday's show. That's fine. I'm going to play it again tonight, but not in its entirety. Kind of. In the second hour, I would say towards the back end of the second hour, I'm going to start it. And I'm going to stop it a bunch of times throughout so we can have discussions about what's on it, about what she just said, where that led up to. We're going to have a start and stop version of that again. And in case you're wondering, yes, we've already reached out. We're going to get her on the show. That might be a long interview. We're really going to pick her brains about what is in these documents. Remember, they're not my documents. They're not her documents. These are Pfizer's documents. These are Pfizer FDA documents. We're going to talk about that and much more coming up on the Jesse Kelly Show. I want to prepare you for something, though, that you really, really, really should be aware of, painfully aware of, before I get to why you should get out of the cities. I mean, I'm looking at a headline here. New York attorneys accused of firebombing a police car. Given a general plea deal. So I'll get to that in a second. January 6th. Everywhere you turn right now, you're going to see January 6th stuff. And before I get to why you're seeing that stuff, I want to explain something to you. There was a January 6th committee that was put together. A clearly, completely partisan Democrat hit job put together against Republicans. There are only like two Republicans on the committee, and of course it's that loser Kinzinger and Liz Cheney, the full-blown Democrats, right? Well, now we're getting to the place where arrests are being made of people who oppose them, and not even really oppose them. These arrests that are being made, they're for contempt of Congress. Basically, they're telling people, hey, Peter Navarro, you have to give us this information. And Peter Navarro and others are saying, I'm not allowed. A lot of that stuff is privileged information. You're asking for things I'm not allowed to give. And then it ends up like this.
I live right next door, 50 yards from the FBI. On the Wednesday night, I sent an email to Patricia Aloy, the deputy attorney, and said, look, I'm seeking a modus vivendi here. I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place. Let's see what we can do. I gave her the name of an attorney. I told Walter Giordano, the FBI agent who'd come banging on my door the week before. Hey, Walter, I'm here. Just call me, whatever you need. You don't need to bang on my door. They chose a different route. They didn't call my attorney. Instead, they went with this shock and awe terrorist strategy. They let me go to the airport and then take me with five agents like I'm an Al-Qaeda terrorist.
Took him down with five agents in the middle of Reagan Airport. Okay. They're now ramping up the public portion of this. The public portion. What does that mean? It means every single news station you turn on is going to be talking about January 6th, the January 6th committee. You're going to see all these stupid little headlines on the screen. Bombshell, breaking, this is the end, that kind of stuff. Now, why? Why? Why now? Doesn't make any sense. You don't care about this. I don't care about this. Well, I will tell you there's a reason. There's actually two reasons. The first, and this is a very important one, and this is going to lead me to get out of the cities. The first is this. Remember, the communist, he does not get power and feel he has any obligation to restrain himself. He just doesn't feel in that way. You have kids, maybe you have kids, or if you are a kid, maybe you have kids in your school who are smaller than you. Do you walk around smacking them in the face? I mean, you can. There's nothing stopping you. They're much smaller than you. Do that to your own kids if you feel like it. Walk home. I walk home night, just backhand one of my sons across the room. I of course can. I'm not going to do that. Why? Because we have always believed. You believe, I believe, no matter what your set of moral principles are, you've always believed you should hold back from using power. That's part of the mark of what makes a good human being. You should hold back from using power. The communist would never dream of holding back from using power. His mind doesn't work like your mind works. The second he gets power, he looks around and thinks, how can I use this power? What can I do to gain more of it? What can I do with the power I already have to crush my enemies? That leads us to the January 6th stuff. The first part of two reasons, remember. The first one is they want to intimidate you from any and all political activism in the future. This isn't about the Capitol entering the Capitol. It's not that at all. This is about you sitting down and saying to yourself, your spouse, your friends, your enemies, hey, I don't know that we should go into New York and protest. I don't know that we should go to that pro-life event in New York. I don't know. That's just, did you see what happened to the January 6th people? This is about them trying to ruin your life. And a second part of that, you know, we're going to get to the second reason January 6th is in the news, but bear with me a moment. I've been telling you to get out of the cities for a long time. Get out. Get out to the burbs. Get to another state. Get out. Do you remember when St. George Floyd died? Of course you do, right? Because it is, of course, the most important moment in U.S. history as we lost one of our patron saints. St. George Floyd died, and immediately every single part of the system began to tell you America sucks, America's evil, America's racist, America sucks, it's the cops, it's all the cops' fault, the cops are racist, the evil cops, so on and so on and so forth. And that didn't stay in Minneapolis, you probably remember. It was every major American city. And it might have been the worst in New York City. It might have been the worst in New York City. A couple firebombed an NYPD cop car in New York City. Now, I want to be clear about something. That's a felony act of domestic terrorism. And you could probably easily make the argument if you wanted to. That's much more than a state. That's a federal offense. That you could make that argument easily, that each of those people should spend the next 10 to 20 years in federal prison. Easily. Chris says more, but look, whatever. Here's your headline. They were facing domestic terrorism charges and the possibility of 30 years in jail. This year, the Biden administration agreed to a massive reduction of charges in a plea agreement that will likely result in only a couple years of jail time. What is particularly bizarre is that the plea agreement reduces an earlier plea agreement for a more serious offense. They not only had a plea agreement already in place for lesser charges, the Biden administration stepped in with two domestic terrorists who firebombed an NYPD cop car, and they said, no, 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 no. That's still too harsh. 2 years in jail and then let them loose. For constructing and then using a Molotov cocktail that turned an NYPD cop car into a smoldering ruin. Get out of the cities. It's not just that they will take the January 6th protesters and lock them in a DC gulag for what they believe. It's not only that. There's a second component to this, and it's really important, and it's going to lead me to Soros and so many other things. But you have to understand, you're not safe on Madison Avenue anymore. You're not. They're turning violent criminals loose on purpose. And it's not only their political allies. It's not only that. They have another reason. There's another reason this is happening, and you have to get out because it's not going to stop. I'll explain that reason in just a moment. Hang on.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
Softly smile, I know she must be kind.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Don't forget, you history lovers, you get history. About 45 minutes from now, we're doing that. I'm going to play that long Naomi Wolf interview again, very much broken up tonight, much different than last night. That's going to be in the back end of the second hour. We still have to get, I'm going to get to the George Soros stuff here in actually just a second. We have talk on guns, gas prices, all that, and much more. Still, we're going to do a bunch of emails tonight on the Jesse Kelly Show. Back to what I was talking about. Remember, January 6th, you're going to see it all over the news now. There are two reasons for that. The first reason is one we're talking about now. They want to intimidate their opponents. They want you to feel as if the government is against you, and frankly, it is. But they want to make sure you know, hey, we'll ruin your life. We'll send FBI agents to handcuff you in the middle of the airport right in front of your wife. We will destroy you. Don't oppose us. They want you silent. There's another part of it. I talked about those two people who committed an act of domestic terrorism by firebombing an NYPD cop car and how they're going to be out in 2 years. Understand something. This is normal under communism. When the Bolsheviks, when the communists in the Russian Revolution, when they were trying to get their revolution through, they weren't gaining traction because here's what happened. They were trying to cast off the powers that be. And no, this isn't the history segment, by the way. They were trying to cast off the powers that be, but the powers that be started to get aware they were losing power. So they started making concessions to the people, giving in to the people. Hey, okay, you can have this, you can have that, you can have this. So the people's anger began to subside. Well, if you're a communist, you can never have people calm and happy. People have to be miserable and angry and feel aggrieved at all times. So what did they do? Well, they got into the prisons. The prisons weren't guarded that well. And they, you see, there were a bunch of political prisoners in there. So they turned them loose. Now, they knew who the political prisoners were. They could have, once they took over the prison, very easily said, okay, this guy, he gets out, he's a political prisoner. This guy, he gets out, he's a political prisoner. But they didn't do that. They threw open every cell and let every prisoner out. Well, that's a prison. Now, there are a bunch of wonderful people who maybe made a mistake or were falsely accused in prison, but there are also a bunch of really, really dark, evil human beings in a prison, inevitably. Murderers, rapists, whatnot, and there were certainly a bunch in Russia at this time. They turned those people loose at a time where there was unrest in society, and what did they do? What would you do? You're already a murderer. You like killing people. You like stealing from people. You go out on the streets and you find there's very little police and police force at all, hardly any law enforcement. Well, they did exactly what you think they do. They began to rape and murder their way across Russia. Now, why? Why do you want that? What's the point of that? It causes civil unrest. It makes people scared. If you're feeling okay, the government's giving you some concessions, no big deal, life is good. Hey, I just got a little pay bump, a couple extra loaves of bread. That'll make you feel better, make you appreciate your government. If your son gets stabbed on the way home from work, now you're mad again. Why are our streets unsafe? This dog meat government has to go. Why do I bring this up? I mean, I just brought up these two people in New York City, but don't think this is just New York City. I have a headline here about Philadelphia's DA, Los Angeles's DA, and more importantly, I have this headline here. Soros, that would be George Soros, spent $40 million to elect 75 social justice prosecutors. That's 75 cities across the United States of America. A foreign-born billionaire sunk $40 million into making sure 75 cities across the United States elect these prosecutors who will guarantee to turn loose the violent criminals. Oh, none of that sounds familiar, does it? They're trying to get the murderers and rapists back out on the streets. Believe me, I'm going to get back to the January 6th committee thing and how this ties in a second. But when I tell you to get out of the cities, this is why I'm telling you to get out of the cities. It's actually not because of the current state of things. I know you wake up every day and you pull open the New York Post and you see things are bad in the Bronx. I'm aware of that. I get that. It's way, way beyond that. It's the direction they're headed. It's not as if these places have somehow bottomed out and there's people have had enough. We're going to turn this around. You know what? Get rid of these stinking Democrats. We need a DA in here who will be tough on crime. Nope. These places are dive bombing deeper. Oh, I get that there are angry posts on social media. I can't believe what's happened in Central Park. I get that. Go look at your last election. Tell me how close it was. These things aren't going to change. These things are going to get worse. This is done on purpose. And all this will actually end up tying back into the Biden administration and energy prices and all these other things here in a few. But these things are going to get worse because these things are being done on purpose. George Soros, Kathy Hochul, Joe Biden, you name it. They're not looking at the disgusting amounts of crime going on in America's cities and saying to themselves, oh, dang it. Shoot, I had no idea that murderer would go out and kill again. Dang, if I'd only known. They're looking at it and they're licking their chops because chaos is always, always, always good for the communist. If he can cause chaos, if he can cause misery, if he can cause death, he knows the people will search for answers and he will be right there telling them, I am the solution. And you, a logical person, here's what you might be saying right now. You might be saying, Jesse, you're crazy. People know these are Democrat policies, so they're never going to turn and blame Democrats, or they're never going to turn to Democrats when they're blaming Democrats for them. I would say to you, you don't fully appreciate what a small percentage of the population you are. You're informed. You know who's responsible for what. You know the who's, what's, when's, that, where's, and why's. 95% of your fellow Americans have no freaking idea what's going on or why it's going on at all. Just because you know, just because you follow it to some kind of logical conclusion where in the end this will be bad for Democrats and these Soros-funded DAs, boy, are you sorely mistaken, and you are definitely mistaken about who actually goes out and votes in these cities. Get your butt packed up and get out, because it gets worse from here, I promise you. Now, I said all that because there is a second part of this January 6th committee stuff. There's a second reason you're going to see it all over the news endlessly, and I'll tell you what that second part is in just a second. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Don't forget, you're going to get your little history fix in here in about a half hour from now. I'm going to play that Naomi Wolf interview again from last night, only I'm going to cut it up into pieces about the Pfizer documents that dropped. We still have to talk George Soros, gas prices, lots of things tonight on the Jesse Kelly Show. Bunch of emails, too. Someone wants to know about PTSD. Chris is asking about phone calls. Ow. Should we? I have a lot to get to. I don't know. Look, put me down for a maybe. All right, Chris, you can put me down for a solid maybe on the phone calls. Put me on a solid maybe. All right. There's one other reason you're going to see the January 6th stuff all over the news now. Again, first reason. There are two reasons. First reason is they want to intimidate their opponents. They want to intimidate you. That's a big part of it. But the biggest part is they want to intimidate people from ever working with Republicans. They want to make it known, and Republicans will be treated like criminals by the system. That's what they want to make known. But there's a second part. I've said this before. It's not my saying at all. It's a saying in law. Who knows who came up with it? Probably some dumb lawyer. The saying goes like this. In law, if you have the facts, you pound the facts. If they say, Jesse, you killed your wife at 8:59 last night. And I say, I'm not sure how I could have done that because I was in the studio at 8:59 last night. In fact, we have a time-stamped video. Here's Jesse at 8:59 eating cheese balls. Didn't kill the wife then. That would be not something I mention once as a lawyer. It'd be something I would mention over and over and over and over and over and over again. The facts, look at the facts. The facts are here. There's another part of the saying that says, if you have the facts, you pound the facts. If you have the truth, you pound the truth. Jesse, you murdered your wife at 8:59 last night. Completely not true, because at 8:59 last night, I was actually at a gas station buying Bud Heavies and cheese balls. My lawyer would bring that up over and over and over and over again, because the truth would be on our side. I wasn't there. I was buying cheese balls and Bud Heavies. And there's a third part of the saying, and this brings us to the reason you're going to see January 6th all over the news. If you don't have the facts or the truth, you pound the table. Now, what's that mean? It means you get loud. It means you make a lot of noise about things. Jesse, you killed your wife at 8:59. Well, I don't have the timestamp video. I don't have the truth that I was at the gas station. Shoot, maybe I did actually do it. So what would I do? Well, you've seen various versions of this. Maybe you've used versions of this when couples argue. Fellas, ladies, ever have a situation where you're wrong? About 2 seconds into the argument, you realize you're wrong? And what do? Don't lie. I've done it. Don't lie. What do? Do you, in the heat of the moment, do you say, oh, gosh, I really did forget to take out the trash. You're right. You're right. That is my fault. No, you don't do that. You should. I should. But we don't. We have tempers. We're fallible. You'll come out and an hour later and say, honey, I'm sorry. I screwed up. In the heat of the moment, what do when you're wrong? This is an outrage. You're about to drink out the trash. Why do we have expired milk in the cupboard? This house is dusty. Why are you yelling? Why are you changing the subject? That seems over the top and ridiculous, because it is over the top and ridiculous. Why would the Joe Biden administration possibly continue some ridiculous January 6th committee people don't care about? Let me tell you why. I filled up my car. Yes, my nice midlife crisis car I bought that everyone's making fun of me for. I had to fill up my car on the way home from the studio last night. Pulled in a gas station. This is not a big vehicle. It's not some big F-250 pickup truck. This is a car. It's just a car. It cost me $90 to fill up my car last night. I'm sitting there watching the pump, and I know you make fun of me for being cheap, even though I'm not as cheap as Chris, but I'm sitting there, and I can actually feel the vein in the side of my forehead pulsing as I'm watching it go 60, 70, 80, and I'm sitting there furious about that right now. And then I get home, I decide to start browsing the news a little bit, see what's going on out there, and I see things like this.
The two challenges on the minds of most working families are prices at the pump and prices at the grocery store. Both of these challenges have been directly exacerbated by Putin's war in Ukraine.
Blaming Putin? I turn on the news after a $90 fill-up, and I see things like this.
Since it took office, families are carrying less debt. Their average savings are up. A recent survey from the Federal Reserve found that more Americans feel financially comfortable than any time since the survey began in 2013.
I spend $90 filling up my car, and I see things like this.
What is actually still on the table, though, to bring gas prices down?
The president is asking for Congress and others for potential ideas. But as you say, the reality is that there isn't very much more to be done.
I spend $90 to put one tank of gas in my car, and finally, I see things like this.
Electric school buses and electric vehicles in general are the future.
By 2030, 50% of the vehicles we make in America will be electric. And by 2035, all vehicles we make in America will be electric.
We think that the future is electric no matter what.
I spend $90 to fill up my car with gas, and I'm being talked to about Vladimir Putin. I'm being told that it's actually really good right now. I'm just, apparently it's some idiot, totally unappreciative about how good it is. And I'm being told, just go out and buy an electric vehicle, peasant. Why would they spend so much time talking about January 6th? Because the facts of where we are right now are not only disastrous, they're making people angry. How angry is the average American as they fill up their tank with gas right now and they come home and they hear this crap on the television?
And then there's the other path that congressional conservatives have put forward, which doesn't really speak much to inflation. Raising taxes on lower and middle class families, making a lot of political hay out of the child.
A bunch of political gobbledygook. Never solutions, never anything. This is an administration wildly unpopular. They have no solutions at all. They don't even pretend like there are going to be solutions.
Given the global nature of these markets, it's virtually impossible for us to insulate ourselves from shocks like the ones that are occurring in Russia that move global oil prices. And look, over the medium term,
virtually, but hey, can't do anything about it. So why are you seeing January 6th? You're seeing it because they need you to focus on anything other than what's actually happening out there right now. They don't want you thinking about how mad you were at the pump. They don't want you thinking about how mad you were at the grocery store. And some of these people are so freaking stupid, they actually say what I just said to you on camera.
Well, it's a poignant tweet from Liz Cheney, who has really weathered so much backlash within her party to take this stance. But she's saying that this is about democracy. This is about the American experiment and whether or not we want our democracy to fall apart or whether or not we want to look at what happened on January 6th and be cautioned by it and learn from it and really understand what happened. I think the biggest challenge for lawmakers here as they talk about these sort of huge ideas of American democracy and sort of the experiment that we're all living and benefiting from possibly being brought to his knees is whether or not they can make people care, Andrea. There are so many things that people are juggling between gas prices and inflation, baby formula, abortion, and the shootings that are happening. These lawmakers are going to try to now have a narrative to focus the country's attention to say, look at this thing. Do not turn away and understand that while all those other things are really, really important, the foundation of our country, what makes our country function, is the democracy that we have to protect. And they're going to have to do that in the face of Republicans who are lying still about the 2020 election and who are getting elected. And
am I an oracle or am I an oracle, Chris? This is all one big distraction. All right. Now we have to have an uncomfortable conversation about PTSD. And I thought about this as I was thinking about Tunnel to Towers last night. Tunnel to Towers, as you know, is a wonderful organization that's out there. And they're paying off mortgages for Gold Star widows. I mean, think about the pain that comes with losing somebody. Your husband's a cop. He didn't come home. Sent him to Afghanistan. He didn't come home. And now, on top of the pain of the loss, you have all this financial uncertainty, and Tunnel to Towers comes in, and they sweep up, and they help people get back on their feet. But they do more than that. They help our veterans. They help homeless veterans out there struggling. I'm going to talk to you about PTSD next because someone has a question about it. I mean, Tunnel to Towers, we talk about those towers coming down. I know you remember it. How many gave it all? And how many families were left behind? Tunnel to Towers stepped up and helped them. They asked me for $11 a month. Don't you think we can do that? Go to t2t.org and sign up for $11 a month. I think we need to do that, huh? We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Led Zeppelin's so sweet. We could just do Zeppelin all the time. It'd be sweet. How great was John Bonham as a drummer? I mean, until he took 40 shots of vodka and drowned in his own vomit. Until then, he was awesome, Chris. All right. Now I'm going to get to this PTSD question here in a minute. But again, I want to make sure you're ready. First of all, you can email the show your love, your hate, your death threats, your Ask Dr. Jesse questions. You can email that to Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. I have a lot more to say about this Soros stuff in a minute. We have to talk about PTSD. You get history 10 minutes from now. I'm going to go over that Naomi Wolf interview later on in the show. Tons of stuff to get to. But again, two reasons you're going to see January 6th all over the news for the coming week or however long they're going to make this last. One, they want to intimidate Republicans into not getting involved in politics. Two, they want to distract you because right now people are filling up their cars with gas. And sadly, people don't vote the way you vote or vote the way I vote. Highly informed voters who know the issues and know what's going on and know people's stances. But people very much do vote when they go to the gas pump in their sticker shop.
Two-prong question for you, William. Okay. The first one is this, and Katie makes a great point. The fact that we are seeing gas prices impact people's pocketbooks so much right now, would that change how you're considering voting for the next election, whether it's congressional later this year or presidential a couple of years down the road?
Definitely. I just know that one administration had cheaper gas and this administration has more expensive gas.
And this is a bottom line, strictly financial conclusion for you.
I mean, it's a housing market. It's everything you previously mentioned.
No, I'm not going to rip on that reporter because I don't know him. Maybe it was just an odd sounding follow-up question. But you know what struck me there? You know what really, really struck me? How shocked he was that somebody would make a decision on gas prices. This is what happens when you have a nationwide media that is so full-blown communist now. To them, they couldn't even comprehend making a decision on behalf of yourself and your family and your standard of living. Don't you understand we have a higher calling? Don't you understand we have to serve our communist God no matter the price at the pump? They're totally disconnected from reality. But listen, I'll play it one more time. Listen to his reaction at the end. So wait, this is purely a financial decision?
Two-pronged question for you, William. Okay. The first one is this, and Katie makes a great point. The fact that we are seeing gas prices impact people's pocketbooks so much right now, would that change how you're considering voting for the next election, whether it's congressional later this year or presidential a couple of years down the road?
Definitely. I just know that one administration had cheaper gas and this administration has more expensive gas.
And this is a bottom line, strictly financial conclusion for you.
I mean, it's a housing market. It's everything you previously mentioned.
Buenas tardes
to Joe. Now, Chris asked me something really stupid when that audio was going on. And now, Chris, you're going to have to own up to this. Chris didn't know who the reporter was. And he said, is that Brian Stelter? Chris, do you seriously not know Brian Stelter's voice? You think that guy's voice is the same as Stelter's? Chris, go ahead and dig up some Stelter audio. Go ahead. I'll give you a second to dig up some Stelter audio while I tell people about the new Hero Arrow. You know how I've been telling you about Hero Gun for a long time, right? The Hero Gun. And I've told you, you know, it's about the size of a mobile phone, a big mobile phone. They have this new thing out, and I had a phone call with Hero actually today, and I asked them to send me 3 or 4 million of these, or 3 or 4 million. I asked them to send me 3 or 4 more of these. It's called a Hero Arrow. When you go look at it, you're going to be amazed. It's about the size of a small, not even a big, a small TV remote control. And it's that same shape. It's like you're holding a remote control in your hand. It has this little safety catch on it. You flip it back. It's very easy to use. And then you'll see 3 buttons. One button is this ear-piercing siren that is probably enough to save your life or save your wife's life or your daughter's life. And then they have 2 different barrels coming out the end of it. And it shoots this pavo gel, this pepper gel that just basically feels like your face is melting and it fits in your pocket. Forget about your purse. It fits in your pocket, man, in your glove compartment. Travel with it. My wife is going to be traveling in the upcoming weeks with a girlfriend of hers going on a trip. She was so excited when we unwrapped this thing because now she has something in her pocket at all times that will debilitate somebody. Hero Arrow. It's like A-I-I-R-O. Go get one for yourself and friends. Oh, and Father's Day's coming up. Do you think Dad might like gadgets? What dude doesn't like gadgets? Get him a Hero Arrow. Go to hero2020.com and use the code Jesse because it gets you a special discount. Hero2020.com, code Jesse. You don't need a concealed carry permit. State restrictions may apply. Chris, one more time. All right, I'm going to play this reporter just real quick because Chris actually thought this was Brian Stelter.
Two-pronged question for you, Lamb. Okay. The first one is this, and Katie makes a great point. The fact that we are seeing gas prices impact...
Okay, that was that guy's voice. Chris, now play Stelter.
So, like, your freedom sometimes infringes on others' freedom. Others are fearful of these protesters who are arguing for freedom, right?
Crap. All right, Chris, turn it off before my T-levels drop. Turn it off before my T-levels drop. Crap, I think you're right. They do sound similar. Dang it. Dang it. Oh, I didn't know. Yeah, Chris, we have to... Look, we have to greatly monitor how much Stelter we can play on the show. We already have a testosterone crisis in America. Every second, look, Chris, this has been proven in clinical studies. Every 5 minutes of listening to Stelter's voice drops your T levels by 10 points. Serious. It's dangerous out there. All right. We have history coming up here in just a minute. Now, before I get to that, somebody emailed in and they had somebody struggling in their hometown with PTSD. Someone in their hometown's old classmate of theirs getting into trouble. Did four years in the Marine Corps. People are saying he suffers from PTSD. They'd like to know, have I ever gone through it? And if so, how can people help? When people hear about PTSD, they're awesome about it. They're always awesome about it. It's just one of those things people are wonderful about. They hear a problem and they want to help. Well, the answer to your question is yes, I have. Now, there are various degrees of it, though. And this is why I want to be careful how I answer this, because right now I know we have so many military guys and veterans who listen to the show, and theirs is way, way worse than the things that I went through when I got back from Iraq. And that's part of the struggle with talking to people about PTSD or your veteran buddy, or maybe your husband or wife who just got back from overseas and they're different. The problem is everyone is different. One, people are built differently anyway. And two, people go through different things. If I have to pick up a weapon and shoot somebody in the face, that may create one level of PTSD. If I have five of my buddies shot in the face right beside me, that creates a different level, a different kind of PTSD. You see what I mean? There's not, people want to help and they want to know how to help. And they want some, hey, just tell me X, tell me this catch-all plan. And there's not a catch-all plan. But I will tell you about my experience with it briefly next. Maybe give you a tip on how to help. And then it's history time, baby. Hang on. Stand my
ground, and I won't. This is an iHeart podcast.